Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Today's episode, I just want to tie up some of the loose ends on all this shadow work and trauma and subconscious stuff that I've been talking about in some of the episodes, and get to the really good parts of why it's so important to do this work. Because it's not easy, right? If it was, you know, everybody would do it. But let's talk about the benefits of what you get from being brave and really digging into, you know, what so many people call the hero's journey that you're on, you know, diving into that cave that feels so dark and heavy. But let's turn it around and think of it like a spelunker that goes into a cave and just digs for the magic that's there, digs down deep and cultivates, you know, in that rich soil of, you know, just what is very fertile with oftentimes old hurts and wounds and things, but to dig through that for the nuggets of gold and richness that are underneath it. Because every time you find an old pattern or an old response or an old conditioning or an old programming that's been running you that you didn't know was there, every time you find it and you look at it and you bring it up and you witness it and you allow it to be seen and held, and either you can work through it energetically with, you know, with an energy healer like me, people that do Reiki, all different kinds of energetic ways to look at it. You can work on it with, you know, a therapist, talk therapist. You can work on that trauma or that pattern with an EMDR or somatic body therapist, because I think I've mentioned before, the somatic therapies actually help dislodge the energy of that trauma in your body too. Not only do you find it and talk about it and do some of the talk therapy things, you actually dislodge the thing. And like EMDR, if you haven't listened to some of my past episodes, you pull up that trauma, you start to talk about it, you're doing this tapping thing and this eye movement thing and kind of resetting the left and right hemispheres of your brain while you're discussing the trauma, and you go from having this trauma that is right in your face, that's technicolor, that is just running your world and causing so much upset and causing you to be triggered and to act out and to do all the things you don't really want to do. You go from that in one session to this trauma being across the room and being really soft and almost sepia. And sometimes I've actually felt them just kind of go poof, and just dissolve and evaporate. So you go from crying and sobbing and feeling the intensity of it in your body and feeling, I think I've told you before, I had one recently that just felt like this porcupine of death that was really in one of my lower chakras. And as we started to talk about it, it moved up and I could feel it just crawl up through my energy system and lodge in my throat and try to keep me from speaking it. It was crazy, but it was like, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. And we did the EMDR on it and I literally felt it crumble in my throat. I felt it just evaporate. And then this is why you do this work, you guys. Then I felt so much lighter, like two or three or four layers of energetic heaviness lifted off me. I felt like the lens that I view the world through was clearer. Like, you know, if we're supposed to be, I don't know, maybe the ball drop in New York City for Times Square, that beautiful crystal, it's made up of all these fragmented crystal pieces. It's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing. But imagine if you're that ball and it's really dusty and coated in junk and it's just got goop all over it and it's cracked, and, you know, each little crystalline piece is murky, and that's what you're looking out at the world through these traumas. So each time you deal with a trauma or a pattern or a subconscious behavior or something that's running you, that, you know, each time you're even willing to look at it, you don't even have to get to it sometimes. You just have to be willing and open to go there, and it will start to shift on you, and you'll start to clean that little fragment of that crystal. And you'll start to see the world more clearly, and more light can get in, and more more joy seeps in, but you're also looking out through a more joyful lens, through a clearer lens, seeing things, you know, as they are more clearly, and just starting to elevate and get lighter. So each one of those little, you know, crystalline fragments that you clear up just gives you a brighter and brighter and brighter and more joyful view on the world. And it also lets more peace in, so that the more you dig for these traumas, the more you realize, okie dokie, I'm lashing out and acting out from this place of wounding. I'm getting triggered by these things because it touches this nerve in me. But what it also does is it makes you go, huh, look at them. Oh, I see. Okay, now I can really feel into their trauma that they're acting out on. And, you know, like I said in a couple of episodes in the past, I've got one neighbor next to me that's just acted out on his traumas from the second he got here. He just doesn't like me, no matter what I've asked of him nicely. He rebels, he acts out, he lies and makes up stories. He just escalates everything to a place of ridiculousness. You know, that's on him. But I have cultivated more compassion for him through my trauma work and the stuff that I'm working through, because boy, I can really clearly see what his issues are. You know, part of it is my intuition and you know, my psychic gifts. That's part of what I do as a coach. But all that's getting clearer too. Those gifts are getting clearer as I clear these traumas and these old patterns. So I can sit with this guy pushing at me and pushing at me and pushing at me, and I can empty out now and not choose to react to him. Like, he came over, like I said before, you know, banging on my door and being in a rage, and I didn't push back. And that's because I have worked on my triggers and my traumas. I know that, you know, fighting those things doesn't do any good. I know to empty out now energetically, just sort of sit with it, let somebody else's traumas and triggers just blow through me. I don't have to pick them up. I don't have to push back at them. But it helps you develop a level of compassion for other people that's really unexpected, like a deeper, richer level. Like, bless her heart, there's this woman behind me in my park that her animals really like me because my energy is really elevated now. I am really joyful 90% of the time. I'm high vibe. I'm peaceful. I've got, you know, peaceful music going. I've got incense. Like, it's good over here. This Airstream is like this bubble of contentment and sacredness and joy, and it's very intentional, but I've done so much hard work that you can feel it. But it's triggered her because she hasn't done her work. She's threatened by the fact that her animals want to be over here and they really like me and they're drawn to me. She's making up stories about me trying to steal her animals and stuff. But I can look at her and feel compassion for her because it's her woundedness talking. It's not her in her right mind. She's a sweet person. She just, you can feel the layers and layers and layers of stuff that, you know, I hope for her she works on. I was trying to befriend her to help her with that because I'm a firm believer, you know, the universe drops somebody in your lap for a reason. And I've got this guy next door and I've got her behind me, you know, my closest two neighbors, just in this place of real trauma and really acting out and lashing out and heavy energy and all that. So, you know, old me would have jumped in and, oh, I have to fix him. That's why I'm here. Like, the old wounded healer savior complex that I had for a long time would have, you know, jumped in with a vengeance. But as I've done more of my healing work and more of my releasing and more of my digging for my traumas, I realize that that codependent thing doesn't serve me. These two people don't want to do that work. They don't like my energy. I'm triggering them for some reason, but I don't take it personally anymore. It's not about me. Old me would have taken it so personally and been hurt by it, probably left the RV park by now because I couldn't take it. I would have met them with clenched fists and fought back, you know, a whole lot of different ways that the old wounded me would have, you know, reacted to their to their energy and you know, and the lies and the manipulations and the stuff that they're doing. But what I can do now is, even when they're lashing out at me, I am doing 95% better at just sitting with it and going, huh, and developing a curiosity about it. And also realizing it's not mine to fix. It's theirs. It's their path. It's their choice. It's their life lessons. And apparently I was dropped into their world to just trigger the living hell out of them for some reason, so that they could make the choice. Do we want to shift and learn and grow, or do we want to just keep being that way? And sadly for right now, they want to keep being that way. But the one neighbor behind me with the animals is really interesting, because she was in my Facebook group and we were getting close, and I've had to disconnect from that. But even that I didn't do from an angry, reactive place. I left it alone when she was starting to act out, and I let her extricate herself from my world. I didn't do it from a reactive place of, oh, well, I'm going to show you. And I was that way for a very long time. The old me really would have done that. Okay, well, you can't be in my happy place. Nope, you don't clean up, take the trash out kind of attitude is how I used to be. But again, from digging through and seeing, you know, where I learned these patterns that just don't serve me of reacting and controlling and taking everything personally and lashing back out and just, you know, just fighting everything, that has really shifted for me. And I mean, I would not trade this place of peace that I've got right now for anything. And it was so worth it going into that deep, dark cave without a flashlight a lot of times and digging for the heavy stuff that needs to be put down. And I'm so excited. I've got, I've still got something in me that wants to kind of go, and flare a little bit with these two neighbors. And I've been asking the universe for, okay, what, you know, what's the thing I need? Like, where, how do I get to this? What is this pattern? Where did it come from? Because what's happening now doesn't feel to me intuitively like something from this lifetime. And I know some of you may not believe in past lives. I certainly do. I've experienced many of them that I've had on a surface level, a few deeply, but a few on the surface level. So, you know, I've been just asking the universe, like, okay, is there somebody or something that can help me dig for this thing? And this is so awesome. This last week or two, in one of my intuitive groups, this woman just dropped in on one of the calls and just lit up like Christmas in front of me. I mean, she just resonated with me. I reached out to her. We had a really great phone call. Her name is Deidre Sanford, and she's getting ready to start doing this really cool modality that digs into, she's been training for it, and she's, you know, she's ready to roll. She's just, you know, doing a little bit of kind of finishing up clinicals before she hangs out her shingle. And we were talking about it, and I'm going to do this thing with her this afternoon. It's a 3-hour process of digging into the energetics and the past lives of some of these traumas and patterns that don't serve you still. So a whole different way of coming at this than I have, a whole different modality. And she's so sweet. She's gifting it to me because she's, you know, she's doing her clinicals still. So look at the way the universe rewards you when you go, okay, I'm really trying here. You know, I am working so hard to peel back the layers of this onion that no longer serve me. And I'm giving you the layers. I'm giving them up to God. You take them. You alchemize it for me, because I am committed and intentionally cultivating peace and joy and love for myself. And I'm given from the overflow to others. That's my goal. And so look at this gift that's dropped in my lap. I'm going to get this amazing experience. And I feel so good about it. Like, I don't feel any heavy energy that's going to come with this. I feel like it's going to be just that loving reassurance that I need to release the last pieces of whatever this is that's causing people to be triggered by me and the energy that I hold, and to act out and cause me safety in my home. because that it's been following me. Like, if you've listened for a while, and I didn't talk about this a lot, but when things were so heavy for me before I'd worked through any of this stuff, that pattern was really huge to the point that I had a stalker for several years, an old assistant that made himself a key to my house and would let himself in when I was traveling. I'd be out of the country or, you know, all around the U.S. working on stuff, and he would let himself into my house. My housekeeper didn't even know that he shouldn't be there. My pet sitter, my neighbors thought he was my boyfriend. Like, he was posing as, you know, supposed to be there. I didn't even know he was in my house, y'all, for a couple of years. But that's how big and scary and large that trauma was still, and the energy that it gave off and the things that I was drawing to me because I was living from that, you know, that trauma space. So, you know, through the years, it's trickled down. It's gotten lighter as I've done my work, because I've been doing this transformational work for probably 30 years. I started it when I was about 25 or so. You know, my intuitive stuff, digging into that, and definitely, you know, therapy and transformational programs and all that stuff. So, and weirdly enough, my stalker was in one of my first really big transformational programs. And he even conned them into letting him into my hotel room at these transformational weekends, and so he could leave me flowers and love notes and all this crazy stuff towards the end. It was really weird, but, you know, so I was even drawing in that kind of insane energy in my transformational groups. So, you know, it shifted and it's lightened, and like a layer, you know, like an onion, as I peel back a layer, that gets lighter and it gets a little lighter. So, you know, I moved to my studio after I sold my house, and then I start getting people like screaming at me in the hallway if I ask them, you know, politely to be quiet at 2 o'clock in the morning when they're, you know, it was a mixed use building. You know, could you guys keep it down? Do you mind, you know, screaming that they would come kill me and stuff? Oh, okay. Whoops. You know, so anytime, and so it's going to be interesting to see what Deidre helps me come up with. Anytime that I ask someone to be considerate of me, to be quiet, to be thoughtful with their lights, to, you know, not have their animals come in my trailer and tear things up, you know, whatever it is that I ask for as something I need, that seems to be when all hell breaks loose and they start lashing out. So I'm really curious. I'm super curious about what this is now. I'm not panicked about it. I'm not worried anymore. I'm not threatened by it. I'm just curious and excited, because even back at my studio, space that I lived in Dallas. It was a big mixed-use building. It was like a 10-story building, and, you know, all kinds of cool people in there. All shapes, sizes, colors, ages. But I've mentioned before, I even had some preacher kids that were vandalizing me and stealing my stuff and hassling me. I mean, preacher kids. So it's like, okay, this is a weird pattern. Like, I do not know what this is. So then I moved to the RV park here, and the first manager's wife just didn't like me. She would never speak to me the 5 years that they were here, or 3 years. She just wouldn't acknowledge me. It was the craziest thing, like I was invisible. And I get that sometimes out in the world, too. People literally don't see me. They walk through me, or they run a grocery cart into me, and they don't even apologize. They just keep going. And I'm like, okay, am I vibrating at, like, a different level, and they truly don't see me? You know, or am I giving off some sort of victim thing that says, hit me now? You know, I don't know what it is yet, but that's gone on kind of my whole life. But this manager's wife just, you know, was horrible. They retired, moved away. The next managers, there was a power pole, a tree limb fell by my camper. The power pole got knocked over. It was dangling with the live electrical lines over my metal camper for 5 days while I was out of town, and they never mentioned it to me. Definitely a dangerous thing, and could have blown up my camper and, you know, burn it to the ground and, you know, all that neat stuff. But Alexa just came on. Alexa's talking to us in the middle of me recording. But anyway, so this manager, I get home and I spend the night in the camper one night because I didn't know. I got home after dark. I didn't know the power line was laying over my camper. And it's a metal skin. Like, the aluminum can electrify. You have to be careful. So, you know, I spend the night and I hear in the morning, and I realize that's the lines rubbing on the edge of the camper. So the manager comes by, and all I did was ask him, do we not have a protocol of some kind where you could have like texted me or called me or emailed me to let me know that there was a really potentially dangerous situation because I just spent the night in here. Oh my God, y'all, you would have thought that I screamed at him and told him, you know, to go to hell or all kinds of stuff. He just flipped on me in a rage and lost his mind, and it was crazy. I'm going to kick you out by the end of the day and blah, blah. I'm like, dude, all I did was ask you if there's not safety protocols. Okay, awesome. And for the rest of the time that that man was the manager here, he would literally glare at me like he was trying to put daggers in my heart, and he would growl at me. Is that not the craziest thing? I've never had a person growl at me, but like a snarl, like an animalistic growl. It was the craziest thing. But I was learning, you know, during that time that he was manager, I was learning more and more about, you know, releasing my traumas and digging in and, you know, why am I attracting that, and don't push back, and, you know, don't give him anything. So I quit, you know, I quit smiling at him and waving to him and trying to engage. I quit any of that stuff. I just withdrew and I waited it out. And like karma does, karma's awesome. He raged at one too many people and got fired, and he got kicked out. The same day. They're supposed to give him like a week's notice to leave, but he did a series of really bad things and they got kicked out within like 2 hours of the last thing he did. So, you know, the trash will always take itself out that way when someone chooses to respond, you know, that harshly to you. But, you know, the larger point that I'm making is those are some weird patterns of reaction to me that keeps staying with me. So, you know, now still in the same RV park, I've got the person next door just lashing out for no reason, accusing me of stealing things when I have never even been over on his property. And now the woman, you know, just because her animals like me and are kind of coming over here and soaking up good juju, I'm apparently trying to steal them. So it's, you know, bless their hearts. So most of it's them, but something in me is still attracting it. So that's why it's super important to just keep cultivating an attitude of curiosity, just like a child. Like, what is this? Where did I create this? Is that this lifetime? Did I learn something when I was little that, you know, taught me I can't stand up for myself. I shouldn't. You know, is this a bigger lesson where I should stand up for myself? Should I be out there raising hell with these people? I don't know, but I'm curious. That doesn't feel right to me because I just don't have that anger in me anymore. And I've definitely spoken my truth to both of them from a very calm and quiet, grounded place. And that feels good. Like, that feels right, but fighting them doesn't feel right. And running away doesn't feel right because that's the old me too. That's an old trauma response to just pull up all my stuff, pack up all my toys and just leave. Well, that doesn't solve it either. Like right now I'm kind of in the, I'm just going to stay sitting in this to see what the gift of it is. What am I supposed to unpack here? You know, what are my lessons? What have I drawn this to me for? What's the gift in this? Why is this happening for me? And, you know, what can I unearth here? And once I get that lesson, you know, it'll be great. It'll just be more layers of the onion. And I really feel like, you know, it will carry over into all areas of your life, right? Because one piece of a puzzle that you clean up tends to kind of retroactively just shift and clean up a whole lot of other things too. So that's the reason, you know, that you do this heavy work, that you just keep at it, that you don't beat yourself up too. When and Panache's meditation this morning actually was on this. You're never going to be perfect, right? If you were, you'd be a saint, and that's not what we're after. Like, you know, there's only been a handful of great masters in the world that have gotten to that place of perfection. Like, even Jesus got angry, right? He didn't like what was going on in the temple, so he flipped them and he tore it up. Like, he had righteous anger. And so we have these built-in emotions and these things that, you know, make us who we are. So as these emotions come up, and, you know, like, I got angry about both of those neighbors when they were doing their thing. But the point was, I was able to stop, ground myself, take a deep breath, reply from a much calmer, much steadier place, that, you know, and not let it affect my energy, not let it rock me for too long. Although the guy coming over and banging on my door and being rageful, that hit me energetically a little harder than I'd hoped it would. Because it was scary. Like, it was a physical threat. I could feel that from him. I could just feel the hatred coming off of him. But, you know, it's more hatred towards himself. Like, these two people don't have much self-love, if any. And so I do feel for them. I do. I really do. But interestingly enough, not enough to do anything about it except not feed their fears and their dysfunction. I'm just not going to feed it energetically. I'm just withdrawing, and I'm going to let them be. And, you know, they can do. I got plenty on my plate to keep cleaning up my internal world. But it'll be interesting. At some point, maybe as I get to the bottom, you know, of this, the Tootsie Roll center of this Tootsie Pop, of this issue, you know, maybe they will start to shift too. Whatever's resonating still in me with that pattern, as I shift it, maybe they will sort of dissolve their energy and shift their focus, and all that will ease up too. Because that's certainly what's happening with my relationship with my parents. You know, the more internal work that I do, the more I shift into a place of allowing it to be what it is and not pushing back and not trying to make them do or be anything, not trying to force them to heal things that's not theirs. They have chosen their life path. It's not my job to get in the middle of it. And it was causing a lot of conflict for years and years and years for me to try to do it that way. So as I've eased up and I have just come at them from a place of love and peace and some boundaries, you know, standing my ground when things get funky, but, you know, showing them a few tools instead of shoving the tools down their throat like I used to, huge difference. We're having so much more ease and flow and simplicity in the way we deal with each other. And that was always my goal. You know, if you've been listening for a while, you probably heard me say that, you know, all I wanted to do was get to a place of love and compassion with my parents where we weren't, you know, poking each other's wounds all the time and acting out from them. So I have settled down. I am grounded and balanced and peaceful when I get to them. And if I get triggered, I have all these cool tools when I'm with them that I can utilize to get myself back to that place. And that's what it's all about. That's why you do the work. So now I have achieved my intention of, you know, being much more loving and balanced and compassionate and calm and peaceful when I'm with my parents and with other people. So that to me is like, you know, icing on a cupcake with cool sprinkles, and it's gluten-free and I can eat a lot of them. So it's a good thing. So keep digging, keep looking, and don't think that you haven't done it right when these crazy emotions come up in you, because they will come up. You're still going to get triggered. Things are still going to happen. There's no 100% clearing of every ancient pattern or wounding. It doesn't work that way. We're still human, but it's how you choose to react and the tools that you've got when those things happen, that's where your power is. And that's where you can start to feel really good in your skin and just realize that you're coming from a place of self-love. Like, I love me enough now, finally, at the age of 55, to not let myself get rattled, to not show up for every argument I'm invited to. I have this "Would you rather be right or happy" plaque in the Airstream. I've had it, you know, in here for 10 years. And I finally get it. Yes, I would rather be right than happy. I'm sorry. No. Oh, interesting. Interesting Freudian slip. I would rather be happy than right. That's funny. Because I really would. I would much rather be happy and peaceful and joyful than right. But now I have to, because I just said it that way, now I got to sit down with why I said it wrong and figure out where is that element of still needing to be right showing up for me. And that's where this gets fun. Like, be curious, keep digging, and go, oh, look at you popping up for me. Okay, cool, let's dig in. So just don't be afraid of it. It's really why we're here, this hero's journey, digging out of our traumas and our conditioned patterns and, you know, all that stuff, and just unearthing that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful energy of like our soul that's underneath all that heaviness. That's what we're all trying to get back to. That's what I help people shift into as a soul empowerment coach. I can hold the energy for people to shift into that space, even for just the hour and a half you're with me, you know, on one of our session calls. I can hold that space for you and help you shift into it and help you feel what it feels like and give you some tools that you really can use to start learn and to shift into that space more often for yourself. And the more you do it, the more you shift into it, the more you hold the frequency of you know, what lights your soul up and what resonates for you and feels good for you and brings you joy, the more you hold that frequency, the more this other stuff feels heavy and dissonant and funky, and you don't want it anymore. And so you start to really want to do the things that you need to do to shed those layers, so you can just stay in that beautiful frequency that brings you joy. So I'm starting more and more to really want to claim the joy whisperer title that some of my clients have said is me. I think that may be my new business card title, but it's just, I live in a place of joy more often than not now. And a year ago, even just a little over a year ago, I was in such a place of trauma and dysfunction and sadness and depression and angst, suicidal thoughts and all that. But because of COVID and because of being isolated and because of my commitment to really doing the work, I get more joyful like every other day. Maybe some new layer of joy appears, and peace and just beauty shows up in my life. And I feel like it's just getting started. I feel like there's still more to do, still more to dig for, still more to unearth, more good things to harvest, and more elevation that I can achieve. And that, y'all, that's the secret, right? So I hope this helps. I felt like I needed to explain, you know, I've told you about the traumas and all that stuff and, you know, how to get to some of them, but I haven't really told you what the magic is on the other side of it, why you do this work. So I hope that helps you guys. And reach out, like I said, if I can help you in any way, shape, or form to, you know, start unearthing your joy and start putting down, you know, those big, heavy boulders that are in your backpacks that you're carrying around, I'd love to help you. I am not afraid to dig in to those boulders and help you chop them up. That's one of my superpowers. So anyway, thank you for listening, and I love you, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye. Okay, y'all, this is how this works in real time. I'm back on because I was listening to the episode to see if I needed to tweak anything or edit or cut anything out. And as I'm listening, sorry, as I'm listening to all of the things that I'm telling you about not being safe in my home, not being able to speak my truth, having people lash out at me for no reason, tell lies, yet what I didn't mention was, you know, all these people, the authority figures, always listen to these people lashing out and not me. They don't stand up for me. This person, you know, these people just keep getting to act out like crazy. And you know, threats of violence come with it. I realized this is my little brother. This is a pattern with him. You haven't heard me talk about him, and you won't much. He's very angry, very, very traumatized in his own way, and lashes out, but gets away with everything. And it's always been that way, and he was always violent with me, and he still tries to be, even in adulthood. Last time I saw him, he got violent with me. And this is how it works, you guys. I apparently had
blocked that so deeply that I put him so far out of my mind that I didn't realize that's what that is. So I've carried the pattern of that wounding with me through my entire adult life. And what's funny, and I'm so excited to have that thing this afternoon, I had one past life experience that I let myself go into, but I stopped it abruptly because you're hypnotized and, you know, you can control when you're hypnotized. You can go, this is too much and jump out. And I did, but some of the animosity between my brother and I this lifetime showed up in that past life because I saw myself as a Native American woman. I could see my feet and the moccasins and, you know, all the stuff around. I knew that's what it was. And I was in childbirth, you know, active labor, giving birth to a baby. I saw it being born. It was my little brother in this lifetime. I knew it was him. And I died right after he was born. And so if you don't think past life things carry through to this lifetime, you're kidding yourself. Wow, this is big, y'all. Because I mothered that little boy so much in this lifetime. And he loved me, you know, fiercely until his hormones kicked in. And then I became enemy number one for some reason. But, you know, maybe that's when he remembered the trauma of what happened that lifetime too. I don't know. I don't know. And you know, here's the thing. Now that I've found it, I get to work on it. I get to take it to my EMDR therapist. I get to sit with this woman this afternoon for 3 hours and unpack this. And hopefully the next time I'm around my brother, if there is a next time, there will be less of the intensity and less of the, you know, the energy of fear that I actually still carry when I'm around him. He's very volatile. Very volatile. So I am fascinated. I just had to come back on and tell you because I got about 11 minutes into listening to what all I was saying and just the light bulb went on. So that's how this works. You know, I've been doing all this intense work for 30 years. I just now got to where that is. So that's why. And I mean, even the little things that I was saying, they're all little markers. Listen to your language, you guys. Listen to what you're saying, because I was hearing myself, you know, in the recording saying, you know, it's the people next door. It's the people closest to me. It's the people right behind me. Okay. Well, you know, my brother was my next door neighbor for the first 16, 17, 18 years of my life, right? We shared a common wall. It didn't go well for a very long time. I mean, no matter what I did, he'd come up behind me and just punch the living hell out of me. That was what he did. So all this fear, all this rage that came out of nowhere, pathological liar. Now, it doesn't mean I don't love my brother because he's the only one I've got, but I do not care for his behavior and I have chosen to extricate myself from it. But it's the same pattern, you guys. And the language that I'm using to describe these people and the way they behave is exactly the way he's always behaved with me. I'm just now getting it. So, this is a gift. I'm so excited. I'm glad to share it with you. I can't wait to shift it. It's going to be awesome to be able to talk about this and not have all the ugh attached to it that is, and then watch what happens around me as my energy changes with it, as I release this trauma and its hold that it has on me, and I watch my outer world shift as a result. That is how this works. And think about the gift that'll be to my family, you know, as I shift that in me and come from a much different place of understanding and compassion for myself and for my brother as we move forward. That's how this stuff works. In real time, apparently. So, there's my vulnerability share for the day. But again, I love you guys. And I'm going to go take a shower now and get ready for my session with Deidre. So, thank you guys for listening. Sorry to jump back in, but damn, that was big. So, I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @airstream_oracle, or you can email me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on and read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening.